Hey, everybody, it's Chris Hockey. Welcome to the After Party Podcast. Opportunity today for me to talk to Jamie Scorby of the Bluebird Cafe, the world-famous Bluebird Cafe in Nashville, Tennessee. So many great careers have started there. There's a great documentary I encourage you to check out if you haven't seen it yet. It's available on a lot of platforms. But everybody from Taylor Swift to Garth Brooks to people you didn't even know existed that wrote some of the greatest country songs and music of all time have gone through the Bluebird Cafe. It's just an interesting, wonderful piece of history in Nashville, Tennessee. And Jamie Scorby works for the Bluebird Cafe and has taken many different hats there, worked there for 15 years, had an opportunity to jump on the phone with her. So I'll play that interview now and encourage you to stop on by the Bluebird Cafe sometime if you're ever in Nashville, Tennessee. Even more so, encourage you to check out that documentary and learn a little bit about the history of the Bluebird Cafe. Jamie, first and foremost, I want to thank you for coming on and talking to me a little bit about your place of employment, the Bluebird Cafe, the world famous Bluebird Cafe. It's been fun to watch people who don't know anything about Nashville get to know the Bluebird through the documentary. I can only imagine that the popularity has increased tenfold since that happened.
Well, thank you first for watching the documentary. Certainly appreciate that. That was years worth of work, and I think the end result is pretty stunning, and I hope a lot of other people will watch it. But yes, due to both, I would say, the Nashville TV show, followed then by the documentary, sure, there is a whole new level of international awareness of the Bluebird. We were always lucky enough to have that over the years, but it's really increased over the past decade. And it's been at times exciting / anxiety inducing / fun to watch. Because of actually the influx of new people over the years, the demand on our little Bluebird, which only seats 90 people, has been so wild that we were actually forced to change some of our operations just to accommodate all of the, extra folks showing up.
I can only imagine. And, that's the one thing as well about the documentary. Even though you guys do a good job of, saying over and over again how small it is, you can't help but make it look bigger on there. And I'm sure people come down and say, oh, my gosh, this is so much smaller than I thought it was going to be.
Exactly. Almost every single person who sets foot in a Bluebird for the first time makes a comment about, oh, it's so small, or it looks bigger on TV. Yeah. Almost always the first comment.
Absolutely. And it's a big year for you guys as well, right? You have an anniversary.
Yes, we just turned 40 in June, though we are celebrating all year long. And, for a little tiny music venue in the Green Hills neighborhood of Nashville in a strip mall, I mean, that's not bad for something like that. I'm not sure if you've seen photos of the Bluebird on the outside. Probably you have, and I'm sure it was seen in the documentary. But we are actually in a teeny tiny strip mall, and people are always shocked to discover that as well.
So I'd like to do the interview for just assuming that people haven't seen the documentary and encourage them to see the documentary. So a lot of things that we're going to be discussing, anybody who's seen the documentary is already going to know. But let's talk about you in particular, first and foremost. How long have you been at the Bluebird Cafe, and how did you get there?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have been there for 15 years, which sounds almost insane to say, being in this one place for so long. But I, to try to make a sort of long story short, when I graduated from college, I got a job in publishing, book publishing, not music. Ended up realizing it wasn't for me, and I wanted to do something in music. There happened to be an office manager position open at the Bluebird Cafe, and I had been to the Bluebird a couple of times, although it's worth noting, if I didn't already say so, I was going to college in New York. So I'm living in New York, and I decide to apply for a job at the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville. I do so on a Monday. The founder calls me and says she likes everything I had to say, likes my resume, but asked me if I was crazy. And I told her I was not crazy, just passionate. And so she literally said, if I don't find anyone I like over the next 5 days who's already here, I'll call you. And she did. She called me 5 days later. I flew down. I interviewed. She offered me the job then and there. And then I actually stayed with her at her house for a few days following that to actually do the job, because her deal was like, hey, come do the job. If you love it, great. I need you back here in a week. If you don't love it, you go back to New York. No hard feelings. So it was really a win-win for me. And here we are 15 years later, and my job has evolved significantly over that time, from that sort of office managerial position to doing all of our private events and parties, both on and off site. I book our early shows. I book our band spotlights, special project work with photography exhibits in the Bluebird, down to, sweeping the floor if it needs it, because we are a tiny staff and we all chip in.
The other thing about the documentary that's fascinating, of course, is the people lining up to try to play on that stage. Before we get to that part, though, Jamie, can you talk to me a little bit about the history of the Bluebird for people who know nothing about it?
Oh, sure. It's expensive, but once again, I'll try to condense it. I could go on for about an hour. But essentially, Amy Kurland, our founder, opened the Bluebird in June of 82, and she did so, as the name suggests, as more of a cafe. And music wasn't really part of the plan for the first couple of years. And then Amy started dating a guitar player. And I always like to say, if you're single in Nashville long enough, you will probably date a musician at some point. So this was Amy's musician, and he said, hey, wouldn't it be cool if you put a stage in the Bluebird and my buddies and I can jam while people enjoy a meal at night? Amy thought about it and realized, like, you know, that actually is a pretty good idea, but the room is more conducive to an acoustic style of music due to its size. And also, you know, Nashville is a city of song and songwriters, and she had a number of friends who were songwriters, and she thought, why not try a writer's night? So they gave it a go, and of course the rule was original music only. And two things happened on that first writer's night. One, Amy had a packed out house that had never happened, and two, she turned a small profit, and that had not happened yet in the history of the Bluebird.
Wow.
So she started adding writer's nights. It's pretty wild. She operated, you know, pretty much in the red the first couple of years. And then they added these writer's nights on a more regular basis, and it wasn't terribly long before Kathy Mattea got a record deal following her Bluebird performance. So Amy ran around town and told people if they played the Bluebird, they'd get a record deal like Kathy, which is a bold statement. But what's so wild is it ended up being true for so many people. A lot of people had really big moments in that tiny room, from Garth Brooks. He actually, by the mid-80s, had been passed on by every label in town, and then he was at the Bluebird one evening. He played one song. Len Schultz from Capitol Records was in the room, saw Garth play, saw the audience react, and took him back to our kitchen and offered him a record deal, finally.
Wow.
Same is true for Taylor Swift. She was showcasing one evening in November 2004. Scott Borchetta was in the audience, approached her after the show, said he wanted to start his own label and then sign her to it. And what did she think of that plan? And, well, you know, the rest is history. They obviously went on and made a bunch of beautiful records and many millions of dollars. And in the interim, I mean, that's kind of a big stretch between Garth and Taylor, but I mean, a number of things were always happening. Everyone from Willie Nelson and Kris Kristofferson to all your favorite divas, Trisha, Martina, Faith actually got her record deal there one evening on accident. To people like you might not really expect, like Steven Tyler, Dave Grohl, Carole King, Kings of Leon. So it's really varied. You know, we skew toward country because we're located in Nashville, but really we present writers across all genres. There was a live television show. We were heavily featured in the Peter Bogdanovich film, The Thing Called Love. And then we were featured in all six seasons of Nashville, the TV show. And then, as we've already sort of set up, the 2019 documentary Bluebird. So we're in a lot of forms of media, and we're just trying to keep everything going. And we do that by doing two shows a night, every single night, and presenting songwriters at all levels, from those starting out on open mic to those writers that, you know, have 60-plus number one hits.
You talk about, and we saw again in the documentary, the people standing in line to get into to audition. How often does that happen? Weekly? Does it happen daily? When do you have people come into audition to try to actually make it on your stage?
We do those types of auditions quarterly.
Okay.
And see about 65 people in a day, and they all come in and they play 1 minute of a song, verse, chorus. And we do that because Amy Kurland, our founder, always thought that if you were scanning through the radio and a song didn't hook you in a minute, then you were going to change the station. And so people show up at 10 a.m. on a Sunday and they wait in line to play their 1 minute of a song. And then they are in front of a panel of judges, from myself and our GM to various publishers, hit songwriters, you know, people in the community who have been doing this for a while. And the top scorers get passed, and then they can start playing those Sunday nights. And once they play four, they're eligible for their own early show. And then it kind of goes on from there. The goal, of course, is to play the late shows, get a publishing deal, and write hits. that's the majority of folks. That's their goal.
And of course, for a lot of people too, just walking onto that stage and playing the song is the goal as well. I have a lot of friends who live down in Nashville still now, and there are a lot of people still flooding the market. Has it slowed down for you at all? Are you finally starting to see that the influx of people coming in to try to find their dream is slowing down?
Not really. The city keeps growing and growing, and more people are showing up on our doorstep. Funnily enough, I had a meeting in the club yesterday, and the number of people who came up and like looked through the windows and were taking photos outside, that's just constant. And I mean, and that's good. That's an awesome problem to have. You know, it's like if people keep showing up, it means they still care.
Yeah.
And we can keep doing what we're doing. And we have not seen a massive slowdown. Of course, you know, COVID has had an impact on operations. We were closed for 16 months. But when we came back, we were back. It was wild. I mean, I know those were wild times for everybody, sure. But we weren't really sure what to expect. But we opened back up, and that line was just as long as it was before COVID, wanting to get in the door, and we were so thankful.
When people come in and they stand in line and you hear their songs, are you continuing to just hear mostly country music, or are you seeing other people try other genres on you as well?
Oh, people are absolutely trying other genres.
Good.
I've noticed a pretty big pop influx. That's been interesting. Although, you know, I always remind myself, too, that when the songwriter's playing a song, it's how they wrote it. I mean, of course it is, right?
Right.
But once that gets passed off to a producer and an artist, it can become something so completely different. So while it may not have had a strong country delivery in the club, by the time it hits radio, it could have like a super thick Texas accent singer on, like all the steel guitar you can imagine, you know? So it's sort of like, once the song finds its home, I feel like that's when the sound is really decided.
Yeah.
But yes, overall, I feel like I've seen a larger influx of other genres, pop being the one sort of leading the pack.
I'm going to guess amongst all these success stories, you see a lot of broken hearts as well. How do you deal with that?
We do see broken hearts, but we're very careful to say, hey, this is just one step on your journey. And if you don't, you know, say pass auditions the first time, please come back again. We have had people who've auditioned upwards of 5 or 6 times and then finally passed. And it's just part of the process. And as long as that person, you know, recognizes that this little broken heart doesn't have to be forever and it really is just a learning experience, they can kind of take the next step and just keep going. So we try to be really supportive. We try to never be discouraging. We try to help folks make connections and really encourage people to sort of come up with their class, so to speak. And by that, I mean, like, everyone who auditions together, everyone's sort of operating at the same level. So it's like, make friends with those people. It's like high school. That's the class you're going to graduate with eventually.
For sure.
And so it's important to have that kind of support as well. And we just do what we can. I mean, I'm sure there are a handful of folks out there that, you know, maybe had their hearts broken and kind of stayed that way. But we really try to say this isn't everything.
Bluebirdcafe.com, by the way. If you are going to make your way down to Nashville, make your way in there and just see some of the best music and feel some of the history, which is the next question I want to ask you about. When you have those meetings with your staff, and again, we've talked about how small the venue is, I got to believe that you guys are very aware of the history and how important it is, so that you don't expand, you don't blow the doors out, you don't blow the walls out and make it bigger. You keep it what it is, because that's such an important part of what the Bluebird Cafe is.
Yes, 100%. We are constantly considering our history and discussing the best way forward so that we can honor the history and stay true to our mission, which is supporting songwriters at all levels. But, you know, in these funny times that we're living in and all of the development that's happening in Nashville, people are constantly asking questions about, you know, what's it look like for the Bluebird in the future. And we're just like, we're going to stay the course. We're going to do what we've always done. We're going to take care of our writers. We're going to continue to present them, you know, 2 shows a night, 7 nights a week until, you know, hopefully until forever. I mean, I know that's not actually sustainable, but we just really think that it is important to always honor our history, and we can do so by, you know, carrying that into the future with us. It is worth noting that as we are speaking, there is a 22-story building going up right next door to the Bluebird.
Really?
And that, yes, it's pretty crazy when you see it. Well, they're still in the destruction phase of the pre-existing buildings, but that created a bit of an uproar, you know, like what was going to happen to the Bluebird and this, that, and the other, and the rumor mill started turning. But really, it's like, no, we're good. We're going to stay here. We're going to keep doing this thing. The developers have been very kind, and, you know, it's one more sort of challenge to overcome, but I don't know. We've had pretty good success overcoming challenges in the past, so we're just going to keep plugging along.
Good.
Yeah. I see no reason not to.
a couple more minutes. I promise I won't keep you forever, but a couple of more minutes, and I want to ask you personal questions now about some moments that you won't ever forget on stage at the Bluebird Cafe.
Ooh.
Maybe even performers I've never heard of as well that might be the next up-and-comer.
Yes. Okay. I mean, there are so many, and there have been about a million times over the last 15 years where I was like, why am I not keeping a journal? I've had so many wonderful experiences and the opportunity to meet so many of my heroes. It's sometimes hard to just call something up out of the air, but the first thing that always comes to mind would be the evening that we had a private event with Willie Nelson and Chris Christopherson, and Chris was actually presenting Willie with a Lifetime Achievement in Songwriting Award.
My goodness.
And I will never forget the two of them on the Bluebird stage singing Crazy. And, you know, it was just the most magical evening. So we have nights like that, of course, or the time we did the surprise show with Dave Grohl, where we couldn't even tell our staff it was happening.
Wow.
And the website literally said TBD, and it sold out on the TBD. And then in walks Dave Grohl on this crowd of completely unsuspecting people. That was very fun. But then there are definitely nights where the first time I ever heard Leslie Satcher, she's an incredible writer, an incredible singer. She wrote like Troubadour for George Strait.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The first time I ever heard Leslie do her song, You Remain, which ended up being recorded by Willie and Bonnie Raitt, actually, I just wept. And I have cried every single time she has ever played that song. And I don't know what it is, but there's just something in that room. And when you hear a song like that, that is so special and so heartfelt and so incredibly well constructed, I don't know. It really just does something to you. I have seen that entire room weeping.
Hmm.
I mean, not a dry eye in the place. And then, of course, there's always the laughter. And, you know, we do have fun. We're not all a bunch of crybabies. But there really is something just so emotional about being there and hearing these writers share their hearts and then playing their songs. And for whatever reason, though, that one always, always gets me. And then there have been other moments, too. Like, I love watching people have their first Bluebird experience. And as the events manager at the Bluebird, you know, at least a couple to a few times a week, I'm putting on private events. Usually it's a lot of corporate groups. Occasionally it's your wedding rehearsal dinner or what have you, but it's usually a lot of corporate groups. And they're coming to town and they're like, what even is the Bluebird? And why are we here? And then they pull up to the strip mall and it's not terribly impressive. And then they come inside and they're like, okay, this is cool. Like, but what songwriters, like, you know, they're just like not well informed. So I will get up and give them the history of the Bluebird for about 5 minutes. And then I just let the songwriters take it from there, because really that's the whole experience, right?
Yeah.
I have seen people's attitudes just change drastically. They come in super skeptical, don't really want to be there. Their job's making them be there. And then they're the ones crying at the end of the show.
Hmm.
And I love that. It's like, yeah, we got them. You know? Like,
yeah.
It's like they kind of come in with like this prove it attitude. And then they end up being the ones that are like, how do I get to come back here? How can I do this again? Oh, my God. And I love that almost more than anything. It's so gratifying. And, you know, and also, too, I don't think a lot of people even really understand that, like, songwriting's a career and that, like, Tim McGraw doesn't write all of his own songs. So, like, there's an educational component to all of this that I also really enjoy. But mostly I just like seeing people change from the time they walk in the room to the time they leave. That for me that really does it for me.
You know, one of the things that that makes you sad about Nashville, if you go there a lot, which I don't get to go there as much as I used to, but With all the change, a lot of the history is metamorphized. It's the history is still there, but it's glossed over, if you know what I mean. And one of the things I love about places like the Bluebird is you still feel old Nashville there. So I just appreciate what you guys are doing so much. For people listening here in Minnesota and all over the upper Midwest where we're heard, people not necessarily wanting to come down and play their music, people who want to come down and watch a show, that's not easy to get into as well. What would your advice be to them?
Oh gosh, I get this question a lot because we are so fortunate to essentially sell out in about a minute of on sale. My best advice is this: be online and ready to roll 1 minute before on sale. And then don't go for the tables. Go for the bar stools. Go for the church pews. Yes, we have like 4 church pews in the Bluebird, very much like the Ryman. And that, to me, it will be the easiest way to try to get seats, because everyone's inclination is to jump on the best tables, but it's like, nope, just get a church pew seat. You will probably be successful. Just because by the time people realize the tables are all gone and then circle back for the church pews and what have you, you could be the one that already got those.
Wow. And
so really that's it. And then we have walk-up seating available, but it is minimal, but we encourage people to show up and, you know, we will absolutely get you in if we can.
That's great. Now, I'm going to also, because as you can imagine, Target, 3M, we've got a lot of companies up here who might want to rent the Bluebird, and that's something you said that they can do for corporate shows and such like that. Do they get a hold of you? How do they get a hold of something like that? How do they figure something out like that?
Absolutely. I would be the point of contact, and there's some really great information on the website. And essentially, we have an events email, events@bluebirdcafe.com, that comes to me. And I will, you know, walk you through every step of the way planning the event. And I will be on site for every single event. And it can be as big or as small as you want it to be. Some people are like, you know what? I just want to bring my group in. I want to order off the regular menu. I want to see these awesome songwriters you've recommended. And that's that. And then we have folks who come in and they're like, cool, we need flowers on every table. We need tablecloths. We need banners everywhere. We need it to look like, you know, gosh, a wedding party or what have you. So we can do a lot in that little space, actually.
Give me one name of somebody that you've seen playing at the Bluebird that's about to break it big, or in your opinion, should be about to break it big.
Oh, my word. That is, oh, gosh. A couple of people come to mind right away, though. Emily Earle is wonderful. And I think she's starting to get the attention she deserves, but I've been a fan of hers for years. There is a young kid in town. His name is Daniel Etheridge, and I think he's incredible. And he actually just started this trio called Troubadour Blue, and things are also just starting to happen for them. Though I've been like working with these folks for, you know, years. It's so gratifying to see them finally getting attention that they've long deserved. So those are the folks who came immediately to mind. I'm sure as soon as I hang up, I will have about 20 other names for you. but those are my immediate go-tos at the moment. But I mean, you know, gosh, Carly Pierce.
Yeah.
I gave her her first round, I don't know, 9-10 years ago? I don't even know. And now she's like, you know, female artist of the year, and she's just out there killing it. And I'm so proud. Every time I see her on an award show or anything, I'm just like, oh my God, like our babies are growing up. You know, it's really, really gratifying to see something like that for someone who has worked so hard for so long. And she totally deserves every good thing that's coming her way now.
Thank you for giving us time. I look forward to meeting you in person. And I encourage everybody to check out bluebirdcafe.com. Get down there and just see what music in Nashville is really all about.
Thank you so much. This was great. I honestly was slightly nervous. I don't do a whole lot of this type of thing. But I appreciate you having me. And I do hope that you will come to Nashville sometime soon.
I hope you take the chance someday to check out the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville. What a beautiful place. Thank you, Claire, for making that interview happen. My name is Chris Hockey. This is the After Party Podcast for the Power Trip Morning Show. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you again soon.